If we can turn back to that portion that we read together, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and the words that we see here from the lips of Jesus, we often quote them. They were in many ways his last words. Verse 6, John 14, verse 6, and we'll take that verse as our text to guide our thoughts. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want to begin by quoting the words of an American theologian, A.W. Tozer. He once said, and I quote, "The whole world has been booby-trapped by the devil, and the deadliest trap of all is the religious one. Any untrained, unprepared, unspiritual, empty rattletrap of a person can start something religious and find plenty of followers who will listen and pay and who will listen and pay and promote it." Now, friends, how true these words are. I don't need to tell you, many are the world's religions. Many are their followers who are prepared to listen and to promote and to pay for whatever beliefs their religionity stands for, even as Tozer has reminded us here. I only came across this statistic over the last few days, and it's quite a mind-boggling statistic. I read that in the world today, there are roughly 4,200 religions being practiced somewhere in the world in 2018. Isn't that mind-boggling? Approximately 4,200 religions. Now, what does that tell us? I think it's Blaise Pascal sums it up when he once graphically said that man is incurably religious. Man, in and of himself, is incurably religious. And he made a statement, and I continue. He says, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man which cannot be filled by any created thing." That's very obvious as you go around the world. You find that all peoples and all races and ethnic groups have some form of religion. He inevitably bows at some shrine. It is either the worship of the true God or some false substitution. And he concludes, "But man," he says, "is incurably religious." Surely I don't need to tell you here, friends, what I have this in inverted commas, what the received wisdom. What the received wisdom, as far as religion is concerned, is in the 21st century amongst religious people and religious followings. Religious peoples and religious groupings and followers. You know, it's basically the same thing at the end of the day. Despite the variations, despite the practices, despite the differences, despite the forums, all world religions are basically the same. Just as all roads lead to Rome, so it is with all religions. They all lead to God at the end of the day. Yes, there's certain variations, people will say. Yes, Jesus is one way, but then so is Buddha, so is Krishna, so is Christian Science. They're all convinced, following whatever religion they embrace, that their own religionity, their creeds, their beliefs, that they've got God's approval and God's certificate that all is well at the end of the day. We heard it at the doorsteps all week here in this part of Glasgow. It doesn't really what religion you embrace. Different doors, we heard it from different people. It doesn't really matter what religion you embrace. As long as you're a devoted follower, as long as you're loyal, as long as you're sincere in your own faith. Really, surely at the end of the day, that's all that God is going to look for. That nothing else matters. If we've got a sincere heart, if we're earnest and if we're honest. You know, friends, the world out there would have us believe that there are many ways to God. It would have us believe that there are 1,001 ways to eternal life and to the paradise, if I can say, to the paradise of Nirvana. To have this utopian Shangri-La bliss of eternal enlightenment. They all believe it. It doesn't matter really what religion you embrace. It's going to all be well at the end of the day. Notice what Bishop Ryle, J.C. Ryle, says to all that. Listen, he says, when an eagle is happy in an iron cage, when a sheep is happier in water, when an owl is happy in the blaze of the noonday sun, when a fish is happy on dry land, then and not until then will I admit that the unsanctified religious man could be happy in heaven. Sums it up. But of course we have it, as we're going to see this evening in three brief headings, we have it from the lips of our Lord himself. I want to consider with you under three headings, the one and only road that leads to heaven. And they fall from the lips of Jesus himself here in verse 6. He says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now I wanted to give the three simple headings that you can take with you here this evening. Jesus the way, Jesus the truth, and Jesus the life. Now these were very memorable words that fell from the lips of our Lord. And we would be here all night, because there's depth. There's a lot of depth in these words. And we're at the end of the day, we're only scratching the surface. And before we go further, maybe we should consider why our Lord had to say these words. What prompted him to say these words? It was the last night before his betrayal and his death. And he was in the company of the disciples. They had been in his company for 3 years. They heard all and every doctrine of theology from his own personal lips. He told them in so many different ways, personally, that he was only going to be briefly in this world. But that inevitably, that there was going to be a certain event in his life that was going to bring about the deliverance of Israel. Their deliverance, that the Messiah was going to give himself as the Savior of the world. They heard all these things, these truths, from the lips of our Lord in so many different ways. And yet, when Jesus here speaks, notice, in about this way that he was going to take, he says in verse 4, and whether I go, ye know. He speaks of a way. And whether I go, ye know. And the way, ye know. The way that I'm going, you know all about it. Where I'm going, you know all about it. Who's going that way, you know all about these things. And the disciples were perplexed. The disciples were perplexed. And it was actually Thomas speaking on behalf of all the disciples that brought about this statement. In verse 5, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And in answering that question, and all the other questions that they had on their minds that was a puzzle to them. These profound words come from our lips. One of the seven sayings, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, I'm not a Greek expert at all, but the experts in the Greek language tell us that the words I am here means that it's very intense. It's an emphatic way of referring to oneself. In other words, equivalent to saying, I myself, exclusively, I and I only. There's nobody else involved, Jesus was saying. I and I alone. I'm going to take this way that I'm going. I'm going to prepare the way and make the way possible for you to walk as well. Now, it's interesting. Notice what Jesus doesn't say. Oh, we see what he says, but notice what he doesn't say. A lot of people don't say what he doesn't say. Jesus doesn't say here, I am a way. I am a truth. I am a life. Not at all. Many people would want, would think, would wish that was written. He doesn't say, I am one amongst many ways. What did Buddha say? He didn't say what Buddha said. Buddha said, find the way and follow it. That's what Buddha said. That's what Buddha is still saying. Find the way and follow it. He doesn't. He says, I am the way. I am the only way. Surely, friends, if we're here this evening and we've been hearing the gospel over many years, surely we believe that with all our hearts, that there is but only one way to God. One way to God. You know, if I was driving recently and I saw a certain sign in a certain road in a rural area. Danger, don't go further. And I know, I was told by somebody, there's great danger if you go to the end of that road. Imagine ignoring that sign, danger sign, and the possibility of going as far as I could and then landing over a cliff. It would be ridiculous. You know, and if that's folly, what greater folly it is to ignore a greater warning sign that's placed before us in God's word. Listen to what Jesus himself says about these warning signs that we so often tend to ignore. Listen to what he says. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Straight is the way and narrow. Straight is the gate, sorry, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. What's he saying? It has to be said again and again and again. I'm the only way to heaven. I'm the only way to God. I'm the only way of salvation. I'm the only way through which sins can be given. I am the only way through which this peace is to be found. You remember how a few years after this, Peter, he quoted this in a different way when he was preaching Christ before the elders of Jerusalem. He says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other way under heaven by which we must be saved. Notice, there is no other name, not Buddhism, not Hinduism, not Islam, not Mohammedism, not Presbyterianism, not Protestantism. We could go on and on. Not Sikhism, Jainism, Taoism, Judaism, Confucianism. I am the only way to heaven. You know, the wise man in the book of Proverbs says this. Listen to what he says. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The way of truth was not something that Anton LaVey had on his agenda. Who was Anton LaVey? Anton LaVey, first of all, was a godless man. Anton LaVey was a man who founded the Satanic Church over in America. Anton LaVey was a man who drew together the words that make up the Satanic Bible. And he was an extraordinary man. This man taught, amongst other things, that his followers could become gods and goddesses themselves. And he hypnotized his followers to the extent that he convinced them that their own way, even as far as religion was concerned, was greater than even that of God's. You know who one of his followers were? A man called Frank Sinatra. Was he hypnotized? Was he hypnotized by what this man said when he penned together, as we'll see later, the words that we have in an ungodly song that he wrote, "I'll do it my way." It made him famous. "I'll do it my way." And that's how it is with so many people as well. By a road in Thornwood, "I'll do it my way." You know, friends, no, you won't do it my way. You won't do it my way. You can't do it your way. You can't do it the minister's way. You can't do it religion's way. Jesus only. It must be Jesus only for believing, Jesus only for dying, Jesus only for living, and Jesus only for dying. And you know what he says about that one way? He presents it to us in the gospel and says, "This is the way. Walk ye in it. Walk ye in it." Jesus the way. Secondly, Jesus the truth. Now, I don't need to tell you, friends, that truth is not very popular in our day, is it? Oh, it's not very popular at all. And if truth is not very popular, biblical truths are lesser popular still. In fact, truth has been thrown out of the witness book, of the witness box. There was a time in this country, in a court of law, and if you were called as a witness to testify in a legal case, the judge would say, let me quote you the words which a judge would present, would ask you to quote. "Place your left hand on the Bible, raise your right hand. Do you swear that the testimony which you are about to give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God." And you would respond by saying, "I do. I do." You know, friends, I don't need to tell you that truth has not only been thrown out of the witness box, that truth has been trampled underfoot. I remember a few years ago while I was ministering in Shettleston with David Fraser, when an American, a preacher, was charged on Sahi Hall Street for simply preaching the truth on the streets of Glasgow. Within 24 hours, he appeared before a judge and jury to give an account of himself. And I was there that day. Curiosity got the better of me. And I went there with David Fraser. And the day I went to court that morning, I had a rucksack on. And the only thing that in the rucksack arose the curiosity of the security man was the Bible. And he prompted the question. He says, there's a lot of people here with Bibles today. He says, is there anything wrong? He obviously didn't know. And I was the first to tell him of the incident that brought so many people to court that day with Bibles. I didn't know it, but this man from Nigeria was a Christian, and he took me aside. And he said something I've never forgotten. He said, this is a court of law, he said. It's a grand court of law. Look at the gold, he said. You know what he says? They don't know what truth is in here, and neither do the people of your country. A court of law. They don't know what the truth is in here. And he saw it for himself. He was a discerning man. The truth had been thrown out and flung onto the streets. And we read what the scripture says. The truth has fallen. What does it say about the truth? The truth has fallen in the streets. And equity, justice cannot enter. The truth has been trampled under the streets, from the highest to the lowest. You know, in one sense, I say this reverently, in one sense, it doesn't really matter. What do I mean? It doesn't really matter. Truth will always be trampled on. It will be always scoffed at. People will ridicule it. People will trample it as much as they want under their feet. You know what? It won't make any difference to truth. You cannot edit truth. You cannot add to it, alter it, or change it. You know, it would be easier to empty the Clyde of water and to stop the sun from shining on the red brick buildings up here. It would be easier to do that than to edit the truth. What does the scripture say? It's unalterable. Listen. Thy word is truth. Somebody said that truth exists. Only lies have to be invented. Charles Spurgeon, he says, opinions alter, but truth certified by God can no more change than the God who uttered it. A thousand errors may live in peace with one another, but truth is the hammer that breaks them all in pieces. William Penn, another great man, says, right is right, even if everyone is against it, and wrong is wrong, even if everyone is for it. What does truth mean? We often make reference to the word truth. Curiosity got the better of me. I went to the many dictionaries that are available. This is what it says. Absolute. It's true. It's right. One dictionary says, precisely accurate. That's what Jesus was saying. I am true. I am right. I am precisely right. I am precisely accurate. Is that it? Is that all that truth has to say about itself? You know, friends, if that's all truth had to say, there would be no hope for us here today. There would be no hope for hell-deserving sinners such as you and I. But the Bible tells us that that truth can be got by God's grace. Listen to what he says, that we can know that truth for ourselves personally. Listen to what he says. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You know what Jesus, my friends, was saying was simply this. You can't change the truth, but the truth can change you. That's what Jesus is saying. The truth can change you. Can I ask you, my friends, with reverence and in sincerity, has the truth of God, as we find it in the Bible, as it is in Jesus, has it changed you? Has it changed you inside out? Has it made you a sinner a sinner saved by grace? Has it changed you? Has your life changed by the grace of God? I don't know what your answer is to that question, but I do know this with the authority of God's word. If the truth hasn't changed you, it's because you're being deceived by the one who hates the truth with a perfect hatred. He hates the truth with a vehemency that we can't even begin to understand. You know why? Because he's the father of lies. The father of lies would have you believe, my friend, anything except the truth of salvation, the truth of God's word. Listen what John says to us in John 8. Ye, if you're not a Christian, ye are of your father the devil. That's an extraordinary statement. Ye are of the father, the devil. You're of Satan. You belong to Satan. You're of the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus the way, Jesus the truth. A few words under our last heading. Jesus the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, friends, we've got one thing in common, don't we? We don't know really one another sometimes that well. But we still have one thing in common, whether we want to accept it or not. We're all sinners by nature and by practice. Hell-deserving sinners. We've met people this week who said, I'm not a sinner. Scripture answers them. If ye say ye have not sinned, the truth is not in you, you make God a liar. That's God pronouncing judgment upon all who claim to be otherwise. You know, there was one exception. I said all have sinned. I made a mistake. There was one exception, the Lord Jesus Christ. He lived an extraordinary life, a perfect life, to die an extraordinary death without sin, so that sinners such as you and I might truly have life at the end of the day. The one who died so that we might have life and that we might be reconciled to God. Notice one of the last promises that Jesus made to the disciples before he left them. He says, listen, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. I go to prepare a place for you. I don't know where it was. Was it here in Glasgow or somewhere in my outreach campaigns? But somebody from a local authority said, or at least monitoring the streets, he says, if you're speaking about Christ as being the only way to heaven, he says, that's not good enough. He says, you have to appreciate. He says, there are other religious people. You know, they're entitled to their views as well. They're entitled to believe what they want to believe. And you have to respect that. You have to give them their rightful place. Truth doesn't accept this claim of equality. Truth doesn't claim equality with other religions because it's exclusive. Christianity is exclusive because it points to the only empty grave in the world. Every other grave that is occupied by every single religious leader, even if these 4,200 religions, let's say they have a religious leader, there's one thing true of them. Their grave contains them. They're 6 feet under. Christianity is exclusive because it points to that empty grave. Others came early that first morning. He's not here. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Christ tonight lives an endless life in the realms of an endless world at God's right hand. No wonder Christianity is exclusive. Exclusive. Notice, he that has the Son hath life. And he that has not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on his name. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, notice again, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. R.C. Sproul, an American theologian, he says, not all religions, he says, are the same. And I'll tell you why, he says. He says, Moses could meditate on the law. Muhammad could brandish a sword. Buddha could give wise counsel, personal counsel. Confucius could offer wise sayings. But none of these men and thousand others like them, he says, was qualified to offer an atonement for the sins of the world. Jesus alone was qualified. Christopher Hitchens died a number of years ago. I think it was in 2011, and he was a vehement atheist. And he was dying of cancer, and his life was slipping away. And, of course, the press and the media were after him to give interviews. They were wanting to hear what this great man who didn't believe in God, what he had to say on the brink of slipping into eternity. And this is extraordinary. He was interviewed by a certain individual who claimed to be a liberal Christian. This is what the interviewee said. I'm a liberal Christian, and I don't really take the stories from the scripture literally. Certainly not the passage that of Jesus' claim that he's the way, the truth, and the life. I don't believe in the doctrine of the atonement, that Jesus died for our sins, for example. Do you, Mr. Hitchens, make a distinction between fundamentalist faith and liberal religion? Listen, friends, to the atheist's answer. The atheist who was on the brink of eternity, it's a rebuke to every so-called Christian. I would say that if you don't believe that Jesus of Nazareth was Christ and Messiah, and that he rose again from the dead, and by his sacrifice our sins are forgiven, you're really not in any meaningful sense a Christian. Isn't that extraordinary? Even an atheist tells us who a genuine Christian is. Friends, what are you doing with your life? What are you doing? What am I doing with my life? What are you doing with your life? You know, we've spoken here briefly as best as we could about the way, the truth, and the life that is in Jesus, the life that he offers to those who believe in him by faith. Is this the life that you and I are living? Is that the life you're living here this night? You know, friends, if it's not, I'm going to tell you a truth about another way. A certain truth about another way. And it's true that this is the life that we are living if we're without Christ as our Savior, destined for a lost eternity. This is a quote from Thomas Brooks, I think. He says, in hell, there is no hope. They have not the hope of dying. The greatest and the hottest fires that wherever on earth are but ice in comparison to the fires of hell. At the beginning of this year, I was in deep pain. Some of you may know what it is to agonize when you've got toothache. And especially when that threshold of pain reaches a pinnacle that it becomes unbearable. And it was true with me at 3 o'clock in the morning. I had to phone the emergency services, 999. I needed relief and I needed it instantly. There was nothing that the emergency services could do. He says, there's no dentist that can help you at this late hour. You'll have to wait until the doors of the clinic open tomorrow at 8 o'clock. You know, with the pain that I endured, there was one thing that kept me insane. The thought, it's opening at 8 o'clock. It's opening at 8 o'clock. I'll have relief shortly after 8 o'clock. And that's exactly what happened. I received relief shortly after 8 o'clock. The pain was unbearable. You know, friends, it's nothing. It becomes absolutely nothing in comparison to the pains that somebody will endure in a lost eternity. You know, friends, with all the love that I can muster, I would plead with you here this evening that whatever else you are before this night draws to a close, consider these words and ask the Lord to give you to see the life that there is in Christ. I can't leave without quoting. I did say I was going to quote Frank Sinatra at the end, the words of the song that he wrote. Notice the contrast in the words of his song compared to the words of another Christian who penned these words, other words together. This is the song, I Did It My Way. Listen to these words. And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I've travelled each and every highway, and more than this, I did it my way. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the way, but more, much more than this, I did it my way. For what is man? What has he got? If not himself, he has not. To say the things he truly feels are not the word of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows. I did it my way. I did it my way. Look at the contrast to the words of a Christian man on his deathbed. Thou art the way. To thee alone from sin and death we flee. And he who would the Father seek must seek him, Lord, by thee. Thou art the truth. Thy word alone true wisdom can impart. Thou only canst inform the mind and purify the heart. Thou art the life. The rending tomb proclaims thy conquering arm. And those that put their trust in thee, nor death nor hell shall harm. Thou art the way, the truth, the life. Grant us that way we to know, that truth to keep, that life to win, whose joys eternal flow. Let us pray. We pray, Lord, thy blessing upon us together as we consider thy precious word.